finding there, the man does the finding. Praise God. The man does the finding. And the woman has to be a wife. While the man is finding, the woman is also molding herself and positioning herself to be a wife material. Because it's not every woman that is a wife material. The Bible is very rich. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And it is even a special favor from God. But how do I know this is my wife? And how do I know this is my husband? And I've told you several times, I'm talking about people who take issues of life seriously. I'm talking about people who take issues of life seriously. There are people that don't value life. That's why they can kill anyhow. Life means nothing to them. They can commit abortion anyhow. Their conscience is not affected. To them, it's a normal thing. You know, such a person does not understand life. There are people who don't care about what people feel about them. There are people who don't care whether you are injured by their actions or not. They don't care about the issues of life. But I'm telling you, life, God designed it to be a thing of relationship. And marriage is not an ordinary kind of relationship. It's a relationship, it's not a kind of friendship where you think you can go in and go out. Unbelievers who don't know the effect, of course, inspired by the devil, see nothing wrong in it. Especially in the Western world, where a man and a woman can, you know, rise one day and say, look, I don't think I'm tired of this, I just want to be alone, let's divorce. And then they just agree, yes, you go your way, I go my way. And then it will be in the newspaper and it is glamorized. That is a third relationship, that's a third husband. And then it is put in these glamour magazines and things. And people think that it is a normal way of life. And people don't know that it's a perversion of what life should be. You see? It is a total failure that you as an adult, a matured man or woman, willingly enter into a relationship that fails later. Nobody wants to go into that. Nobody wants to go into that. It is so serious. Sometimes we make mistakes. But when we have opportunity to go into another relationship, this time we use the past experience to make sure we don't make a second mistake. One thing about Christianity that I love is that as long as you are alive, it is opportunity to right every wrong. It is always God giving us another chance. Until you die in that estate, there is always hope. And that's why opportunities like this come. Where somebody may hear something, something will happen to your heart and, you know, give you another direction, and this time a more meaningful direction of life. What God is always interested in is that, one, you realize that something is wrong and you desire and determine to make a change. That is what God is looking at. When you do that, then He helps you through. Marriage, as Christians, marriage is serious business. When you enter into it, you are entering into it for better, for worse, until death do us part. Praise the Lord. Somebody tell these people, say they know they see me for screen. When I show that man, now my own tongue, they don't go show them, they know they see me for screen. What did I do you? No, they know they see me. Chile. He's the one doing it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, they will not know, coordinators. You should let them know. Cameramen, you are shooting something and they are not showing the screen. You know, talk. You see, they shoot. They know they show it, they shoot. They see, they shoot. What's your problem? Are you hungry? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Therefore, a relationship that you will enter into till death do you part must be entered into cautiously, reverently, discreetly, and with all the li. Because it is better to stay single, like somebody said, than to enter a wrong marriage. There are people that are living in marriage where they are living in hell. Photo outside, you think they are husband and wife. But no peace within. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it again. Christianity does not condemn anybody. You are condemned only when you reject the offer of God. Always catch that. Let nothing condemn you about your past. All of us, the lives that we live as unbelievers, once you have repented before God, you are free. It's true. Therefore, let nothing begin to make you think you are unworthy. Now, how do I know, how will you know that this young man coming my way, yes, is my husband? How do I know, brother, this sister is my wife? This brother is my husband. This sister is my wife. How will you know? I have told you, never you go to a prophet to confirm marriage for you. Don't do that. It is dangerous. Praise God. No matter how I say it, you know, people don't even understand what marriage is. Some people, all they are more anxious to marry than any other thing. Marry. Anyhow, I just want to marry. Anyhow. I'm 30 years old. I'm almost 40. No problem. Anyhow. God will take care from that. We'll not have to take manager. All I want is, I want to marry. That desperation will land you into something you regret for life. Don't do that. Praise God. God himself is the one that designed the institution of marriage. He designed the institution of marriage. He designed it. Therefore, I always make this statement. For every son of God, there is a daughter of God somewhere for wife. For every daughter of God, there is a son of God somewhere. There is a man that God has created for you. Amen. And let that be your prayer. Lord, who is the man you have ordained for me? I don't want to manage any relationship. And it is only when these two ordained people come together that they can truly live together. For better, for worse. You know why they can live for better, for worse? Because that thing that makes you know this is my wife. Hallelujah. I don't know the word to give it. But when I say it is love, it is more than love. It is a feeling that when you see that person, there's a feeling you have for that person, and that kind of feeling is not duplicated anywhere. You just see that person, there is a feeling you have for that person, and that feeling is not a sexual feeling. And that feeling is not attached to any particular thing about that person. It's not because the skin is smooth, or because the person is this color, or because the person is tall, or because the person is short, or because the person is slim or fat, or because the person speaks like Oyibo, or because the teeth is complete, or the teeth is not complete. All this physical thing, you yourself, there is a feeling you have for that person. The day you meet with that person, there's a feeling you have that even you cannot answer why you have that kind of feeling for that person if you are asked. I'm telling you. And that is what keeps you together. Because when you meet that person, your heart beats under the same rhythm. Yes. Your heart beat in the same rhythm. Somehow, you just the thing just clicks. You just find yourself, you know, just agreeing together. Just thinking alike. You just, when that person is around you, you just feel complete. When that person is absent, you feel a void. When you begin to have that kind of feeling for that person, that is the evidence, that is your partner. Think very well. Because some people just look at marriage as time don't do. Okay, now, I don't finish school. I don't get work. My salary don't come. Because me, I talk, say, I don't go marry until I get my degree. I don't get the degree now. I don't get work. My salary don't settle. I don't get house now. Everything is set. This year, I go marry. So, brother assembly, which sister, this one just come from abroad. Maybe you come. You marry that type of man, you are finished. Praise the Lord. You marry a man that makes you feel that he's doing you a favor by marrying you. You are finished. It's true. Praise the Lord. And brother, you marry a woman that is more anxious to be called a wife than anything else, you will also be in trouble. Marry the woman that you know loves you, that will understand you. Marry a woman. That's why there are women that marry men just to change their status, but continue with their former boyfriends. They will get one mugu, keep her house, and continue with their boss in their office. Continue with all their boyfriend, and if you do anything, she has money. She's even the one that marry you. So you talk and he says, "Don't disturb me. What happened? If you know, I'll make it a go." And you call Luke, say, "And when I marry this woman, all the money I get, that she they give me." Say, "Okay, no vex, no vex. I just say I'll be your husband. Now, may they treat me like husband now." You will not marry that type of woman in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. There are women with man spirit. When he marry you, she'll be in charge. Anyway, let me not go that way. The truth is, this is how to identify your partner. And it is not easy to know when it is that kind of feeling, because there is what English people call infatuation. You get infatuated, you know, by certain things about the lady. And then you get carried away. Then you go and pray, Lord, although this is the feeling I have for this one, Lord, if this is not the man you have ordained for me, Lord, scatter it. If that prayer is prayed sincerely, then you are inviting God to help you in your choice. Lord, if this is not the woman ordained for me, do something. And the way God will do it, He will not leave you in crisis. The thing will just expose itself. And you will know, you see, we are not compatible. Hey, God, I thank you. Now, this can't ever enter. Amen. If you go to a prophet, the prophet may be false. Secondly, the prophet may also be seeing your heart desire and then tell you what you want to hear. The Bible says so. I think it's Ezekiel chapter 14 or so. It says so. So it's dangerous. Not even your dream, because you can dream your heart desire. You can dream your heart desire. So you watch the way you feel towards that person. I'll leave it at that, because somebody will ask a question. And maybe I'll elaborate more on it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want short thing, brother. One, definitely a woman that is certainly not your wife is a woman that will be chasing you. That is certainly not your wife, because God designed the man to chase the woman and not the woman to chase the man. Hallelujah. Any woman that comes chasing after you is an agent looking for something from you. Any woman that comes chasing you, and especially in a spiritual setting like this, they are part of the destroyers, destiny destroyers. I repeat, no normal woman will chase a man. No normal woman will chase a man. Any woman, you see, telling you, anytime I see you, see the way I feel. I like your eye. I like your muscle. Can I come and feel them? Amen. And you are saying, it's true. Anywhere I go, women always say this about me. Anywhere I go, women are always admiring me. And you are thinking that through you are something that, yes, there is something they have seen, and devil is pushing them to finish you. You don't know it. Because that woman that comes chasing you is certainly chasing you to make you take her to bed. Oh, that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Once you sleep with her, she collects that thing from you. And so many people have destroyed their futures like that without even knowing it. You sold it and gave it to an agent that collected it and gave to the master that sent her on you. No matter how we say it, it sounds so funny, but it's still happening even in the church. Even in the church. That's the reason why, praise God, we continue to hammer it and hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. Hammer it and hammer it. When I say, yes, you can divorce after marriage. If somebody gives you an impression, there is marriage in deceit. Anybody deceive you to marry, they can't change. You can divorce. Heaven will say amen. Because Satan now has taken advantage of once married, forever, no separation, to push agent to make his children live perpetually in hell. But we are wiser than that. Back to sender. Send you back to sender. Who send you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But boy, I know, Dayo Jayola was telling me of deliverance he had recently of a sister. He said that one confessed to him the power that the devil gave. He said, what? And so men of all categories chasing her up and down. Nobody says she fine too much. Oh. No. But, you know, he says, I think we were saying yesterday also with you, that she confessed and said, if the man belle, just touch her own belle, whether you enter him or not, just touch him. The two of you, like this. He said, whatever it is you are doing, will come down. You see? And she has it in her eye. How many will I destroy today? She go ignite it in. When your eye charm you home, bah, you go start to follow. Hi, how are you? Ah, Jesus. Go and get the Holy Ghost. So that the Holy Ghost will be all over you, including your eye. Some people, Holy Ghost, now mouth only, you know, their eye. Speak in tongue, they speak in tongue, your eye, they see something, they speak in tongue, all over myself. Hey, this one, fire. And get the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And there are men also, their own is worse. When a man is possessed like that. Possessed like that. Man, I did a deliverance on a man that says, every day since that spirit got initiated into that thing, he said, every day, he said, he must sleep with at least one woman every day. I said, if you don't see woman, consent, he must go to a prostitute. He said, compulsory. He said, if not, you will not be able to sleep. And he said, and for every woman, he said, if she's a student, and he's able to sleep with her, he said, what is disturbing him transfers also to the woman. So she too, she can't sleep in a day if she does not sleep with a man. Man, I watched that kind of spirit on a television program. The lady was under anointing. You know, there's one woman that does a deliverance like that. I just watched their channel one time. And the woman was saying, this young girl was saying that any day she does not sleep with a man, she cannot sleep. So he said, but any day you don't get a man, uncle, he said, she will have to do it herself. We can do. If not, she can't sleep. And she said it happened when she met a particular young man. She noticed after that time, she has not been herself again. And she has not seen that man again. See, when the Bible says flee fornication, people don't understand that that is one means by which people's lives are destroyed. And people don't know it. Physically, sicknesses and diseases are transmitted. You heard what Double Standing was saying the other day. That a woman came to them in their kingdom to collect, a young girl, collect power that would be, she would be attracting men to be sleeping with her. Why? He said a man gave her HIV and she decided that she swore before she died, she would spread it all over. So, when you come, her own is every day before I die. How many millions? How many thousands? It's long. So here is she. How many did she transmit HIV to. See, there are some sicknesses that you have taken all manner of drugs, it will not go. STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. No cure. And somebody is wondering, why will a bacteria not, you know, be resistant to every drug? They call it all manner of names. It's a moving object. It's this and that. It's this and that. Sometimes be sincere. I know we can pick some toilet infection, but toilet infection even have cure. Yes. But just look back. Sometimes you are sincere enough, you can know from when you contracted that thing. And 90% of it is through sexual intercourse. And some say, but you can only touch, but you cannot enter. Just touch, you cannot enter. You are the same person like the person who says you can drink but don't get drunk. How do you know the limit? You are talking about emotional feelings. How many, if you cannot resist a man touching your private parts, you cannot resist him sleeping with you. It's true now. People just don't want to be sincere with themselves. Don't be sincere with themselves. It's true. Brother, you carry your mouth. They lick a woman's private part. I didn't enter. Now play with just the play. As funny as it looks, that is how it is. That's the evil of pornography. That's the evil of internet. That's the evil of what the devil has spread everywhere. They've glamorized evil. What is killing people has been glamorized. Until if you are not following them to do it, your friends will be looking at you, be looking odd. In your school, you mean you don't have a boyfriend? Judith. I hope there's no Judith here. Praise God. What are you doing? Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. You know, they live this life two times. This is our time. No. And remember that they are anointed by the devil for that. So they know what to do. And before you know what, they drop things that you begin to think. That's what the Bible says. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Select who your friends are. Select who your friends are. Praise the Lord. I think one more thing I wanted to say before I take your questions. I believe in courtship. Yes, I believe in courtship. And during courtship, there are things you want to watch out for. Yes. That feeling you have, you must also test it. It's not enough that you have that type of feeling. Because like I say, it may just be mere infatuation. Some infatuations are very strong. Very, very strong. I've seen people who love somebody more than the person loves them. You know, and the person knows that you love him more than he loves you, and he'll be throwing you up and down. Be throwing you up and down. And they'll be playing emotion. And you are not quick to know that I cannot love somebody more than he loves me. I should love him as he loves me. You know, but I am the one just doing his job place, and then how do you know? He makes it, you know, at the slightest opportunity, he threatens the relationship. I said, we cut it off. Because they say, I can't do this for me now. Don't do this to me. And okay, then, if you don't want this relationship to end, then behave yourself. Okay, behave yourself. And what is the behave yourself? Is that you should do whatever he tells you to do. Good or bad. Am I not your head? We could start to practice her now. I tell you somebody, you don't come up for house, you come out. I tell you something, you know they work out with that sister, you work out with them. I tell you something, you know, But what is bad about walking around? I say I don't want it. Am I not the head? He just proposed for you. You never even know your house address. Your mama, how you look like? Oh. And then you will say, oh no, I must marry this guy. I love him. Then you are taking his name up and down. I have a pastor, my fiance. I don't understand him. I think it's just the devil. It's the devil that doesn't want us to relate together. Every time we are fighting, every time we are quarreling. And we don't know what is causing it. Follow up and down. Okay, you soon know. He has his boys. In fact, he brought his boy that served him for how many years that he was now settling him in my office. And blessed him and gave him his check in my presence. I said, Pastor, bless him. Bless him. I said, he gave him the money and got him a visa for him to travel and go to China. He brought him to my office with blessing. He served him for how many years? I don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So anybody that is a minister, youth, in your prime age like this, find something to do. He said, whatever you lay your hand upon shall prosper. You must have something you are laying your hand upon before you can prosper. It's true. One of these, our ministers, came last week with 200,000 naira check. He says, sir, it's my tithe. I paid the tithe last week. I knelt down and brought another 50,000 naira. He said, for one vow that he made. He went to the altar and dropped it. Same minister, I don't want to call name because when I give tithe 200,000, they go calculate, it means he made 2 million naira. Brother, please now. Help me now. I'm not going to let you know who the best that be. Lie. Babiala spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't sit down there and say, even workers who are working in ministry, they know that salary from ministry cannot do them. They have fish pond behind their house. They have one limited liability company where they take, they do supply. Now only you say, God call you, then you sit down. You don't go do anything for yourself. God does not act like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What I think in a church money I they spend. I get my business, so I don't want to talk, so I let demon never come begin attack my own. That's why I just keep quiet. So. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You want to, during the courtship period, you want to also find out whether your partner, the one that wants to marry you, is too demanding. Anybody that is too demanding, that is the period you will know. And that word is all encompassing. Too demanding is too demanding. There are people that are you know, just too selfish. Too selfish. You did not call me from morning till now. And it vexes. Why not find out why he has not called you? One brother. Praise God. Is it last night? I've been at today, last night. For my room, have you? For my room. My surprise is, you know who are they talking about? That one minister. He carried his phone, finished. He said, hey! Hey, miss call, my wife called me. Hey! She would say, now fight with this now. Hey! Say, so he called me and not answer her. Hey! He had the beat. Hey! My wife called me. No answer. Hey! He called. He ring, no reply. Say, see, they ring, you no green picker. Hey! Jayola, help me call. Jayola, call the number. Call the person, say, you don't even pick. You know your number. Hey! I'm in trouble today. I say, why now? You tell her, say, you didn't see the call now. He say, you not going to see that one. He go say, now purposely, I no agree answer. How can you be so like that? You know? From Monday till now, you never call me. I say, you don't care. Who have you been with? Huh?
Hello?
Who have you been? Hello? He called you, finished the talk, then you cut phone on him. Meanwhile, from that morning till that evening, he may have suffered a Okada accident. He may have a jam one problem. That he's now going to the only person that will comfort him. Honey, hello? Then he started saying, Nana, you don't know to call me. Cut. You cut off the phone. And the guy will just look, what kind of nonsense is this? The only place I can come and find some comfort, make I hear something, make this frustration where I get to them come out. Again, a fire from there. You go call her, you go cut her. What happened? It vex. Since morning, why you not call me? If you are that type of woman, be ready. You are going to face disappointment. Because once you do that, the man is going to take one step back. Small. Before you know, when they go call me to say, my mama say, make a not marry from NBC. Why are you not always thinking, I hope all is well. He didn't call me. I hope all is well. So when he call, you say, honey, since morning you have not called. I hope all is well. Then listen to his explanation. You know, he say, thank God you are okay. I was very worried. Now when you put up that attitude, next time if he stays long without calling you, say, this woman will be worried. I have not called her. Now he will now call you. Not, since when I never call this woman. Hey, wait till I go talk. Hey, fight, don't start. Hey, they call you in hand, they shake. And they call you in hand, they shake. Now, in girlfriend, they call like this. So, hello. Wait till Nana, they call me. Stop that kind of thing. It disturbs relationship. You are so self-centered, always demanding. And there's another way of demanding. You know the income of your fiance. And you begin to make demands above his income. Buy me phone. He go buy you 5,000 naira phone. Me, 5,000. Hey. Okay, you see me finish. Okay, you see me finish. Do you know son will carry that phone and smash it? And the guy, amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Godwin from Ireland was telling me, he said, you know, he never loved his wife. Well, he came here, we discovered the spirit that was involved. But the woman loved him. Oyibo woman loved him. No, Oyibo does not love like that. Love a black man like that. He called me 2 weeks ago or so. He said, do you know I've started loving my wife? He said, I came back from work yesterday, Pastor, and I brought my wife flower. Hey, I laugh like that. I say, God, we flower. He said, that woman collected that flower. He said, she has never been that happy since they ever got married. For me, honey, he hugged her. He carried the flower. Go hang for somewhere special. Hang them there. For me, he said, hey. He said, no, say, all this one, when they treat that woman like this, if to say in the show of love, that woman will have been the happiest person. Well, I remember saying, now flower. If any brother bring flower for me. Will you take it? Eh? You don't want flour? No flour. Ah, flour. Hey, rose flour. Listen, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Never you criticize any gift anybody gives you. Never you criticize any gift. I learned that from my old mother before she passed away. Amen. That woman, I learned a lot from her. Somebody will come. Somebody that we know, a relation that is a millionaire, that we all know. Each time they come home, the first place, immediately they enter their homes, we are from a very large family scattered all over the town. Immediately they drop. You know, the first place they go is my mother's house to register their presence, say they're in town. You know why? Because throughout until they finish that weekend or holiday and go back, now she go to cook food to go send for them. So after for 3 days weekend, the woman cook for you morning, evening, afternoon, evening. They send food, go make kunu, send go make everything. When the person is going back, mama, I'm going back to my base. You go carry 500 naira, give her. You will stay there, good look. They vex. Mama will say, hey, she go to dance. You go look out. When the person go finish, we go follow her, enter room. Mama, now 500 naira. My mother will tell me, he said, it is not the money, but that he knows he should give her something. He said, that action is what she is celebrating. You know that 500 naira means nothing to her. But here is she dancing. They nickname her. Everybody call her Happy Happy. When she goes, happy. So that was her nickname, Happy Happy. She's always happy. So they call her Happy Happy. She said, it is not the money that you remember to buy something for her. That you remember her to give her something. That is it. If your boyfriend buys you 5,000 naira phone, that he remember to buy you 5,000 naira phone, cherish it. Before him, appreciate it. As they turn back, go, he say, this man, Bila, say, stingy, 5,000. Baby told him, say, ah, beautiful phone. When you do that, you position yourself for him to be doing things for you. It's true. But when you look down on it, it is not good. Because the person will not know what he will buy that will satisfy you. It's true. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then also, make sure that the person is not proud. The person is humble during your courtship. Make sure that the person is clean, neat. There are things that you cannot take. If you are a neat brother, then the wife must be neat. If you are a neat sister, then the man must be neat. It's true. Praise the Lord. Because there's one sister, she's married now. She married recently. That told me sometime last year. Say one guy wake up, say one marry her. He said you have to tell the guy, say, oh boy, may they put waiting. He said he had to tell him, say, a man does not wear a shirt 2 times before you wash it. He said, you wear this shirt yesterday, and you wear come here again today. He said, we begin confront. I say, ah, take her easy with her. I say, no. Say she wants a neat person. And that's how the relationship didn't work. She cut it off. Say, why you cut her off? So I say, the guy is dirty. What you cannot take during courtship, that is when you will identify it. When you try to correct it and it cannot be corrected, then you cut it off. You don't manage anything. Today he spoke about being ambitious. Yes, a man may have nothing now, but you can see his future, that he's an ambitious man. You can see that, yes, for now, he doesn't have anything, but he looks like an ambitious person. Hallelujah. Looks like somebody who wants to be on his own. You can know it. A man that is ambitious has a future. It's true. But a man that wakes up and what his mates should be doing is not doing it. He's not developing himself. Education now is very easy to afford, because everywhere there are various means by which you can improve yourself in every field of life. But somebody sits down and does not want to improve himself, herself, then you know there is no future. Sister, God did not ordain you to just sit down and be a baby factory for any man. Just sit down at home and just born children. Some people think that their security in that marriage is that picking. If I give him 2-3 picking, I go say, I go take drive me, at least because of these children, he must retain me. No! He can drive you and collect those children. Or he will abandon you and those children and say, take care of them, I don't care. It can happen. So it's not enough. You too, develop yourself. Go and read. And look for a man that will encourage you in your career. Not a man that will say, no, come and sit down at home. What do you need? I'll provide it for you. It's a lie. The day you die, you go, I'm starting all over. Let's learn it from big men that we see up and down. Odile wife, I think she's a doctor. She's a doctor. She's a justice. You see? She's a justice of High Court. That is, she's earning salary. She's in the judicial system and she was rising there. While her husband was, what do you call it, a governor, of course, by virtue of it, she will resign. Immediately the governor work finished, I think she went back to her work. The same thing with Justice Abubakar, the former head of state. He was a general in the army. His wife was pursuing a career in the, also judiciary. And as soon as the first lady office finished, she went back again to her court. Which money do you think they don't have? They have it. Who knows Joseph Garba, former minister of, under the military, minister of external affairs, Major General Joseph Garba. Some of you were too small in those days to know them. They were the glamorous ministers, military officers in those days. Recently, my friend was telling me they met his wife. You know he's dead. His wife met my friend's wife and was telling her in the presence of the husband, I said, don't make the mistake I made. I hope you are walking. He said, when my husband was on, he said, you know, give me work. He said, the man died. Now he had taken no, say, I was in an island. Just out of pity, they now took her to be a lecturer in one Institute of Policy and Strategic Studies. That's where they went and they met. I was advised, anybody see, he could say, I hope it will work. Don't do the mistake that I made. That means she suffered after the man died. Especially when you come from certain areas where the in-laws trouble the family if the man dies. You see? Make sure you have some form of independence. Make sure you have it. And a woman, therefore, brother, that does not have that ambition, just want to come and sit down. Now you go, they go sweat, or every time go, just they give you bill. Just they give you bill. You sit down. Hey, hey. You can know it from the courtship. So take note of that. That is what we achieve. You want to see whether that man is tolerant or not. And the slightest thing, he will beat you. While you are in courtship, he's beating you. He never pays shishi over your head, he will beat you. Common sense will tell you, if this man marry me, he will be killing me. And don't you ever allow the manipulation of after he beat you, then he come and cry, say, I don't know what is pushing me to do this. Please forgive me. I don't know how to make me beat you. Now lie you. It's another manipulation to keep you and continually beat you. A man that is a man can never carry his hand to hit a woman. You stay with that man. Okay. I love him. Go ahead. I love a madman. He will show you what is madness. Finally, the man must be entreatable. The man must be the partner, the two of you. When I talk, it's both sides. These things I'm saying is for both man and woman. So whether I talk man, I talk woman, no, it is both sides. There are people that don't take advice. Somebody that can be, you know, put to reason. You know, look for a man that before he does anything, he can come and seek your counsel, you know, and then you two of you sit down and reason together. And when you give a better judgment, he should be able to succumb. Not the one that thinks is every time is right. No. That's not a good relationship. Praise the Lord. I can talk on and on, but let me just wait here. Praise God. I must add also that relationship by phone is dangerous. Arranging husband and wife is dangerous. A man you don't know, you have not met, they are arranging for you like they used to do in the olden days. It's wrong. It is dangerous. I'm telling you that is the truth. And especially the craze of marrying somebody abroad, because everybody wants to leave Nigeria and go abroad. Once they say the man is abroad, make it look as if you are some special person. Hey, it may be a special trouble you are entering into. Marry a man you know. Of course, he may be abroad. You can be introduced to him, he's abroad. But there must be a period where you people must sit frequently before you finally agree to marry. Where you meet and see, I know. People don't even care whether the person there is a Christian or not. Once he's abroad, he's abroad. You see? Those of us who have traveled overseas before, you know there's no big deal about it going there. They phone us every time now. All of you, the ministers, they handle them now. Now they pray for Nana. Now they pray for them, I mean. Every day. I've been here since 2001. Nothing is working for me. The thing for my mind is, what are you doing there? Who drive you from Nigeria? That's the truth. No. Then you are abroad there, and there are some of your relations. When they send you $100, you don't know that it's big money they have sent to you. Some are making it, yes. But let me just tell you, you category of people sitting down here, in this country, Nigeria, listen, there's money in Nigeria. I'm telling you. When I see people running from Nigeria and going out, I've always asked, all of you sitting down here, men and women, I'm telling you, there is nothing you sell in Nigeria that does not have market. 150 something million people market. It's nothing. That's why I like Igbo people. No, that's the truth. That's the truth. I'm telling you. The person that is importing something to Lagos here, it isn't like Lagos being market. The land here, Sokoto people are coming. Maiduguri people are coming. This one, they are coming. He has shop in every state. Prala, that is distributed vara, all over. I'm telling you. It's here, people take off and go. You know, you see, you go there. I went to South Africa not too long ago. I went there. I was tired of eating this Igbo food. I said, Nigeria food here now. Where Nigerian restaurant? I got a driver that took me there. When I reached that night, some people came and said, they know me for Pride Assembly. How are you? What did I do here? Pastor, you go pray for us. So, what did happen? Say, since I came, nothing. What did you come for? What did you come for? I went to America. Before I traveled there, one man that used to come, anytime he comes around like this, see the way he celebrated. Some big man. Where is he? He's living in America. How's that? Like that. So I was traveling to America. So he was the one that came and collected me at the airport. Me and my wife. We got to the house. Now one room made a partition. Yes. Partition, the toilet and the one funny kind of accommodation like that. I left there, went to another state, Philadelphia, to go and see, you know, another one where would they talk too much from my village. He said, I'm not American. He said, you must come and come. I went again. Where is he living? I had to ask him, which work did they do? He had been in America for over 20 years as at the time I was there. What does he do? He said, there's this big hotel around. They stay there. You know, big man, when you come to enter the hotel, you come at the lobby. Then you come out. Then he will collect the key. Then go to the car park and park it. So when you are coming out, it's timing you. As you are coming out, he run, bring back the car and park and give you then the big man, whatever he has, he gives you. That was his job. That was his job. At home, my brother is in America. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was one that came from South Africa. No, before we went there, we knew him here. He called me a big man. Real big man. He even want to talk like Igbo. So when we land, we called him. We were in South Africa with my wife. Well, you know, he took us down to some places. That was where we discovered that even money to eat, he didn't have. He saw me off at the airport we were going. I had some money on me. I think I gave either $200 or something like that with the other South African rands that I had. I said, I don't need this, man. Take. I'm going. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. He was coming to visit me every day because he was sure that every day he called, he will eat. And most of them going, they're going to do drug. Either drug or 419. What are you going there for? If it is not drug or 419, which job? They are indigenous. They never get job. Now you go get job, have you? Criminal things. That's all they do. Then they'll come and book you down here in Nigeria. Say they want to marry you, sister. See. Anyway, William Branham said something. Those of you who want to travel, I advise you go to Europe. Don't go to America. For your information. America is going to be blown up to pieces. According to the revelation God gave William Branham. As part of the things that will happen before the rapture. God told William Branham, 7 things will happen before the rapture. Of all of them, I think 3 have come to pass exactly as God showed him. Remaining 2. The two remaining is one, that a woman will rise in power in America. He gave this in 1950-something. And that she'll be a very wicked person. Secondly, that's why we have all been looking at this woman, Clinton. Whether not she. Because she seems to be a very powerful person there. I think they're even thinking that she may even be the running mate with Obama. I don't know. Okay. Secondly, the second thing that will happen before the rapture is that America, he saw America blown up to pieces. There is a mail I normally receive from this prophecy something. You read it too? Thank you. Where they said, some people said they had revelations, dreams, where they said they saw if Obama should win second term, it will be during his term that something will happen that America will be blown up. And several people from all over the world continue to have those revelations and dreams until so they put it together and they, put it together for people to watch. While I read that, I only remember what William Branham said. Everybody, people are rushing to America, rushing to America, to go and live there. Well, I know he will still save his own who are there. But I'm saying, God himself has blessed this country, Nigeria. You know why? Every couple you make in Europe, in the Western world, every couple you pay tax on it. There is no backyard income anywhere. No backyard income anywhere because they have a system that traces everybody. If I give you money, I got the money from somewhere. If I'm going to spend it, I must state what I am spending it for. If you receive any big money in your account, just wait. It's a matter of this thing. You will see they will come and tell you that money, where did it come from and where is the tax? Okay? But in Nigeria here, you can make 1 billion naira today. Shishi. You're not going to pay tax. The system is very poor. Money will enter your account, millions. Bah. Nobody will ask any question. You can't try that in Europe. You can't. You are sending money out. You say you are sending money to your relation. You are going to Western Union, Abi. You are filling form. They are keying it into a system. The next day, you will see them knock on your door. Your source of income, please. It's only in this country. I'm telling you. Do you know that some people business na shit that they deal with? Shit. People export container load of shit to factories outside to make fertilizer. From Nigeria here. Yes. One man decided is at Ojota Road there. Is it Ojota? What do you call it? Beggar. You saw this thing. He just sat down and said, there are no public toilets. Idea. He designed it and got the plastic factory that make those things. You just go there. He has his vehicles. You do any occasion and they will pack plenty of them and line up there. And each one, you are paying for it. And the man is making millions. Millions and millions and millions. You see? I think his slogan is, shit business is good business. And lazy people will stay and... Anyway, I'm only trying to tell you that, all these lazy spirit people running abroad, stop it. Just stop it. If you are going there, make sure that you are sure your life will be better there than here. I'm telling you. All this software, you go through Morocco, enter sea. This one, land for Spain. Then if you see waiting and they go through, then go and declare yourself a refugee. Then when you reach refugee, then you are now calling Pastor Moses. Pastor Moses, pray for me on my papers. I'm waiting for my papers. Pray for me. I don't know what they are saying. Pray for me. Pray. Who sent you go? Refugee. Praise the Lord. It's okay. Some go there and make it, but most don't make it. And every one of you that you are going there, all of them that say they have papers there, then they marry there. Then they marry. They call it arranged marriage. Whatever it is. Anyway, God will help us. Let me take some questions. And then we close. Any question? Fire me your question. I'm ready to answer you. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Suma is always asking questions.
You talked about how to identify your life partner. So I was opportune to come into a friend's relationship that almost crashed. But in that relationship, she was telling me that according to the man's part, I met the man. The man was telling me that he loved this girl so much. In fact, he just listed these qualities that you listed down. Like,
what's the question?
He said that the relationship is, he said that he feels so empty even when he's no longer with the girl. But on the girl's part, she said that though it is true that they agree, but the fact is that she's not seeing the man as her husband, but the man will not let her to go. So she's confused. She doesn't know what to do exactly.
The only reason why you cannot separate from a man is that you have been legally married. Nothing else should stick you to a man that you have not married. She should be bold enough to say, I don't have the feeling to marry you. And she should be kind enough to tell him early enough to find his bearing and not to keep giving him hope.
Okay. Second, the last one. I just want to know, you know, in a church, that they used to, when a man and a woman wants to wed, when a pastor wants to wed them, I was just thinking about, I said, why is it that the pastor will ask the congregation on that day of that marriage, we ask the congregation, is there anything that will make these two couples not to, this man and woman not to be joined together? The person should stand up. I was just wondering, I said, is the pastor not simply creating a room for that relation or that marriage to be scattered? Why would the pastor ask such question?
Amen. It is a normal thing to do before even the court, in the court registry. They will paste the notice for marriage for 3 months on the notice board so that if anybody has objection, you can see it and point it out. And Christians want to leave no stone unturned. Up to the last minute before you pronounce them husband and wife, just want to make sure that somebody just heard of the relationship yesterday or heard of the marriage taking place today. And that information will be useful. We don't want to cover anything. That is why it is spoken even just before they are joined. It's just to make sure that all, you know, the coast is cleared. It has happened before. In brother assembly, we are going to wed a brother and a sister on Saturday in the morning. During vigil Friday, a woman came with 2 children that belong to the brother. So, it's possible. Yes, next person.
I agree, sir. My question is, I want you to lay more emphasis on the purpose of marriage. And secondly, well, as a Christian, what is the...
Let me make this clarification because we can learn a point from here. Because somebody will be wondering, what did we do in that case? They wedded. But let me tell you what happened. We came together immediately. We asked the sister that he was marrying if he was aware. She said yes, he told her. The truth was that, what we found out was that a woman took advantage of him. You know how, you know, people do, unbelievers. And then that brother did not pay dowry. He would just come, you know, it was a very funny kind of relationship. And she just wanted to use those children and tie herself to the young man. The young man said, lie. One, you don't have character. Number two, I don't know. All this one said, I'm not even sure whether they're my children. He said, from day one, I told you I will not marry you. Did I not tell you? In our presence. But these are your children. And we quickly say that in law, he is not bound to marry you because you gave him a child. No. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's true. That's the truth. We had a meeting that night. We looked at him from every angle. And we said, legally, morally, it is wrong to, you know, not one child, but two children. And he still refused to marry her. And even if you look at them, the woman was almost twice his age. See? He did everything just to manipulate the guy. And the woman was his neighbor in the same house. Stolen water is sweet. Anyway, praise the Lord. So that is it. So don't go and think that because you carry belle for any man, he must marry you. There is no law like that. You are just giving him free gift. There's nothing that says he must marry you. It's only something that says he must take care of the child if he's the father. That's all. And it's not even must. They will not jail him because he say he cannot. If he say he has no means of income to take care, welfare will come and carry the child. That's all. So don't think that you can manipulate any young man with pregnancy. No, lie. This digital age, it will quote law for you. Thank you for the free gift. But I will not marry you. And there's nothing you can do. Yes?
My question. Sir, I want you to lay more emphasis on the purpose of marriage. And second question goes that, as a Christian, what is the two, as in the real characteristics of a courtship, as a true Christian, what should be the characteristics of a courtship?
I said
I'm wanting to lay more emphasis. I did not say I did not get it.
When you say more emphasis, to which level have I emphasized that you want me to add more? You seem to be having something that you think should be added. You can add it to what I have spoken.
Listen.
Eh?
Listen.
You say, what is the purpose of marriage?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Did your father marry your mother?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Sir, why I have...
Listen now. Listen, church. I'm answering your question. Did your father marry your mother? He said yes.
Yes.
Your existence is one reason why they married. To produce you. For procreation. That is one reason. The second reason is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Open it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you see, stand up and read it for me. Verse 9. Who is with it?
Two are down, one.
Joy, sit down first. He's hungry. Yes, who else? Yes? He's hungry. Listen.
Two are better than one.
He said two are better than one. Before we read that, can you read Genesis chapter 2? You see, please, just stand up and read it for me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18.
Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 says,
yes.
And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
It is not good. God himself is the one that said it. It is not good that the man be alone. Why is it not good for the man to be alone? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, answer it. Stand up now.
Chapter 4, verse
9.
Two are better than one.
The reason is two are better than one.
Because they have a good reward for their labor.
Thank you.
Verse 10.
Go on.
For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow.
One will lift up the other one.
But woe to him that is alone.
Woe to all of you that are alone.
When he falleth,
when you fall,
for he had not another to help him up.
Nobody to help you up. Again. Next verse.
Verse 11. Again.
Again.
If two lie together.
In time of Hamatan or winter.
Then they have heat.
They lie down together, they can have heat.
For how can one be warm alone?
How can you be warm alone? That is the purpose of marriage. God bless you.
Please, I have further question. In a marriage where there is no reproduction, where there is no child, what does one do about the marriage that have lasted up to 30 years and above?
For procreation.
Yes. And there is no child.
In the Bible, I didn't see any child of God that was without a child.
Thank you, sir.
There is none. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, you spoke of... my question is, I want to know, as a woman, and you have, like, maybe the person you want to, you are having a feeling for someone, and you want to help that person. You want to help that person. Maybe you're financially buoyant. And you want to help that person. And I don't know if it's right, or maybe you should go to God and ask. You should go to God in prayer and still commune with God to know if really you should still go ahead and help that person, sir.
See, it is good to help your friend. But let's be very careful. Be sure that is not why that person is attaching himself to you. I've told the women before, during courtship, don't disclose your financial standing before the man until you have married. And a man that is prying into your finances is a suspect. That keeps telling you, hey, you don't even bring any money. Hey, this one, I'm not together, we won't marry. You're not even assisting, you're not even married. Say, I said, that's my thing. You say you won't marry me. No, but you come. Marriage, it is not partnership until you have been pronounced husband and wife. I'm telling you, if you have 1 billion naira in any account, anytime it's around, hide everything. As you visit and say, ask her where transfer money are they go. Let it be part of his reward. When he has finally married you, then you declare what you have.
Thank you, sir.
Don't do that. It's a big mistake, I'm telling you. There are some men, once they see you with money, that I love you. When the money finish, you know who they are. They've gotten what they are looking for. And it's very simple. A man comes to you because they will start small. Honey, Sheba, borrow me 10,000 and I just want to do this thing. Ask her, when are you paying me back? I'll pay you now. Now when? Just give me 2 weeks, I'll pay you. Give her the 10,000 naira. If he doesn't bring it back, no give her any other money again. Anytime you come, say, where my 10,000 now? Where my 10,000? Sheba, now, don't 10,000, I ain't the worry person for like this. It means don't let love shock you so that you become mumu. Should know this. It's not easy these days to get a man that truly loves you. It's not easy to identify them. So one identity of a man that truly loves you is he does the give. Not sitting down to be the receiver. It's true. Praise God. Don't do that. And some of you that I just control myself since. Get something where I want to talk, I go hold back. Because this my ear, they hear something, so. This my ear, and they hear something, so. They hear something. It's true now. If you see the women desperately looking for husband, if you see how some brothers mess them up in this church, mess them up in this church. You think it's love that you'll be cooking and be bringing to a man inside church to the job. You cook, every time cook. Every time cook, you can't give up. Then you sit down and chop. To you, now love you, they show up. No, we say, give you money to cook, bring come. Use your money. You want show and say, you shall be cook. Oh, cook, come carry, come give up. Cook, come carry, come give up. Every Tuesday, cook, come give up, chop. On Sunday, cook, come give up, chop. Now go sit down for one corner and they chop. When he finish, chop, finish. Some of them get bad mouth to self. They go, look, is this all you? Praise the Lord. I don't control myself since. I just want to talk. Talk with him. If I talk something here, some people go shock. Say, so pastor, no. I know. Know very well. I know. There are some of you here, you are the one keeping your boyfriend. You are the one sustaining them. I know now. I feel call yourself. Now. I feel call you now. Say, stand up. Now, you're there, monk. Okay, how does it sound to you every time you send recharge card to brother? Is he not the one to send to you? How does it sound? He won't talk to you, he will flash you. Then you go call him. Anytime he won't talk to you, he will flash you. Can't you see he's a shameless man? God will help him. I must marry this year. Now God give them to me. This year I must marry. He said he loved me. He said he loved you. He loved you and he loved your money. I think I don't know what you finish. Next person. Okay, the woman. Yes.
Praise God. Please, Pastor, I have two questions.
Yes.
Number one, I want to know as believers, is genotype, is it a criteria, you know, when choosing a partner? Because we believe that God
is what?
Is it one of the criteria?
What?
Genotype. Because we believe that God is the giver of children. That's my number one question. Then number two, like in Bride Assembly, I want you to throw more light on the process. Like if a brother sees a sister, is it wise for you to approach the sister first? Or you go to the pastor to tell him, I see a sister that I want to marry? Praise God.
They are all answering the sisters. They are telling you, say, don't bother, go to pastor, you should just come. That's what they are saying. You didn't hear them? Say, no, just come. They will answer you. Praise the Lord. Listen, when the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge has increased now. To know that you can avoid certain problems that come up as a result of genetical problems. So, science, there were certain sicknesses that were taking place that people didn't know why will a child be born and you remain sick till certain age, die. born another one again, 666, a certain age, die. Native people say, na witch. They will go to one shrine. They will go somewhere until medical science discovered blood genotype compatibility. So that knowledge, I believe, is God-given. So that in making your selection, make sure you are sure of the genotype. But despite that, praise God, some people can have faith enough and pray that genotype to change when you are sure that is your wife, that is your husband. But why enter all that trouble if I can know that we are not compatible? Before we marry, we will do that prayer. And the sign that you are my wife, I'm your husband, shall be that by so-so time, let it change. And with God, nothing is impossible. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You said that there was a revelation that America will soon be blown to pieces.
That
America will soon be blown to pieces.
I didn't say will soon be. I say will be blown to pieces.
That anybody that wants to travel should travel to Europe.
And those who want to go and settle, if you want to go and live there, migration, immigration.
Can go to Europe. Then I want to know whether Canada will be affected.
When Canada?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Listen, church, I also added, I said, before it happens, wherever God's people are, He will save them from that kind of destruction. One way or the other, He will save you. Because there are God's elect in America. And when we say America, America is a continent. We have North America, we have South America. But in North America, we have the United States of America and we have Canada. They form North America. And that revelation is for the United States of America. Thank you. And it is in North America. Yes.
Praise the Lord, Daddy.
God bless you.
And I have three questions I want to ask. The first one is, the Bible says something in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 28. It says that whoever that look at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her already. And we believe in the totality of the word of God in the book of Hebrew chapter 13 verse 4. Sorry. So my question is, we believe that since before you sleep with your wife or she move in with you, you have to come to the altar and present her. So maybe before you present her, you met her and maybe at least you did not have a fornication with her, but you that kind of lustful feeling. So is that person guilty of that scripture?
Listen, church, let's understand that scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one that said it. That it is written in the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, listen, He was trying to tell you that in the law, before you are guilty of adultery, there must be at least two witnesses before you can be guilty of it. But now in grace, he said, if you just look to a woman and lust after her in your heart, you have committed adultery already in your heart. Now, I always say something. Every sin that is committed starts first with a thought in the heart. Now, that the thought comes to you is not sin, but that you accept that thought, accommodate that thought, is what becomes sin. Because when you accommodate it, it will take root. And then it will bring forth the sin that is committed. And so that is Christ's own way of trying to let you know the root of adultery. The root of adultery is in receiving it and accommodating it. If you did not accommodate it, you would not have accomplished it. So he is teaching you to clean up your heart. Now, this is a woman that you want to marry. I'm telling you, and that is the truth, praise the Lord. I'm talking to Christians, and Christians know no-go area. They know it. In such a way that when you begin to have a feeling like that for a woman that you have not yet married, you should be able to fight it off immediately and kick it off you. That is what is expected of you. Until, and then I am told, and there's an adage that says, hungry will get hope. Not the key person. And something that you know that you will eat for the rest of your life, and they are telling you, you will start eating at a certain time. There's hope. So you are patient. So when, you know, the devil wants to mess you up, begins to make you have that kind of thought and feeling, then you now should be able to fight it off. That's the truth.
My second question is, the Bible said that a man can only put away his wife for the sake of fornication. And the Bible also said that he that married a woman that is put away committed adultery with her. But the Bible did not say, what about the man that put away his wife? Well, the Bible does not say anything. And the Bible said that nobody will marry the woman that is being put away. But the Bible does not say about the man that put away his wife. The Bible does not say something about him.
No, he said it. Say he that put away his wife and married another commits adultery. The Bible says so. Can we open it? Matthew, I think chapter 5. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. 99. Amen. I want to just get a particular scripture. It says, okay, chapter 19. Let's read that of chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. Does that answer your question?
Yes, clear.
God bless you.
My other question is, because I remember there was a time you have a program like this, and we referred to unbelievers as those that are not in the message. So my question is, can a child of God or a believer get a wife from... can a believer marry an unbeliever? That's my question.
Now, listen. Listen. The Bible says we should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible says so. What do you want me to say again?
So, a believer is not supposed to marry an unbeliever.
Are you asking Bible or me?
No, I'm asking you.
I said the Bible says so. You say you know. When you get married, is it not a yoke? You yoking yourself with her? Till death do you pass? Part?
It is. But, what if, but the Bible says something, that's not the Apostle Paul said. But if, what if God reveal to you that that person is your wife? Can something like that happen, sir?
Time will prove that it was God that spoke to you. You know, listen, praise the Lord. You want to force me to say something for somebody to hold on to? Lie. I will not say it. Let me say what the Bible says. Don't marry an unbeliever. That's all. But God told you, say that, Guru Maharaj, man, is your husband, Avi? Now you say, God tell you, time will prove. Because it's possible that through that marriage, it's a predestinated seed that is in Guru Maharaj. And God wants to use you to bring him to the faith. Or, you are not a predestinated seed, and there must be separation of wheat from tares. So God used that Guru Maharaj to take you from Christ to Guru, where you belong. So it is possible. Now God can tell you, Christian is not your husband because you are not a Christian. It's Guru that is your husband. So go so that he will carry you. Have you not seen some people after marriage, they stop going to church? Yes, now. But he say he pray, God is saying, now your husband. After marriage, chow, no more God. So God use marriage to separate wheat from tares, so that everybody will go the way it's written of him. Who is talking? Yes.
The first question I wanted to ask is concerning the a man wanted to marry. Is it supposed that the person should go and propose to a lady in the church without informing his pastor in the church?
Oh, I have not answered it. Thank you for reminding me. I thought everybody answered it. Our old members, this is a question we've answered several times. It's true that churches have devised means of keeping courtship and, you know, this marriage thing under check and control. But I believe that we are adults. And then there is a way you police an adult that you just discover you're just fooling yourself. Listen. Hallelujah. Once, this is the procedure in this ministry. I think the marriage committee, they are supposed to address that. Maybe we'll find time. If we don't make it later today, we'll do it tomorrow. Listen. In this church, I believe, and this is how we teach it here, and this is how we practice it here, that the man goes to meet the woman. If the woman agrees, then you both come to the marriage committee and register the relationship. The reason is because we are supposed to be watching one another. If a brother and a sister is regularly seen together, going to church together, coming from church together, sitting down somewhere, it's expected that there is a relationship. And the church is supposed to be aware of it. If not, you will soon see somebody from the marriage committee will come and accost you. Tell you, why are you like that? And it's even a punishable offense in bride assembly. So once you register it, they know it because they're supposed to follow you up. There are certain things they'll tell you to do and things like that. You will undergo some series of interview, questioning, and follow-up counseling. So first, you have to agree first. And if either of you decides, I don't do again, that same person will come back to the marriage committee. That thing when we come that day, you know what? What happened? That brother is useless. What happened? Do you know since that time till today? She, you know, give me. Nothing, he buy for me. See, nothing. Even the other day, I say, I get headache. Even Panadol, you know, buy for me. That man wicked. What happened? You can't collect my money wrong. What happened? He beat me. Ah. You know, do again. The marriage committee We call you, try to settle you, try to understand. That is what it is all about. So, you agree first before you come. One young brother came to my office a few months ago. That there is a particular sister that is a we give testimony that day in Siam. He says the Siam say in feel for the sister in one, and if he say me I go know the sister, whether I feel connect them together. He feel for him to see me that is concerning marriage. He needs a marriage counselor. So I say he should come. That was what brought him to my office. And I told him, I said, go and tell marriage committee that you saw one sister, may they connect you together. Me, I know they connect people. The brother there, here, they look at me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some brothers don't know how to approach sister, so they need help. Well, you can help them. You know, help them. Some people are very shy. Very shy. They cannot approach woman. To approach woman, kai. And they are afraid that they may be turned down. And they cannot face the shame of being turned down. And it's true, there are some sisters, if you go meet them like this. Sister, good evening. No vex, so. He will say, come. Come. Wait. You don't know your level. Now, me, they come meet. So, he will not be able to recover in time. And you would really think that he's nothing. So, please, brother, if you know anybody like that, you can help them. You can help them. There's nothing wrong. One person that helps people so much is Prophet Boboye. Wait. But be sure that if you join anybody, when there is trouble in that marriage, now you then go to cry, come meet. It's true. Yes.
So my second question is, when you talked about this deceit, my question is that, can a child of God be deceived? Like, maybe I felt that as a child of God, even if it is the lady or the man, that the person supposed to have prayed and hear from God before coming to that.
No, concerning marriage, even God himself don't step aside. You don't know in the Bible? God gave Eve to Adam. And when trouble came, when he asked Adam, Adam, where art thou? Waiting, he said, what happened? He said, now that woman, where you give me? Then cause waiting to happen now. So from after that day, God step aside and say, any man that find a wife, you are not to find, you know, there again. So anything you pick, now you get them. You won't say Nahim. But anytime you say, God help me, he will help you. So that I don't make a mistake, but in a sincerity of heart, he won't mislead you. Yes?
Praise the Lord. And I want to ask this question. There's something you said here. You said about deceitful marriage. And my question goes like, it's vice versa. Two questions at the blow. Number one is this. If the Bible says that it's only one condition, adultery, should a man put away his wife. And I'm asking, apart from that, should somebody put away his wife? Based on this Christian age. And secondly, as a Christian, you caught your wife in adultery. Are you supposed to, should someone do such a thing as a Christian and putting away his wife because of adultery? And second question, another question is this.
Sorry, your last statement I didn't catch. Talk gently.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My second question is this.
What's the first one?
The first one is this. You spoke about deceitful marriage. The marriage whereby somebody will say, I am married though. As a Christian, and suddenly the girl starts misbehaving, and apart from adultery,
You said that marriage that is supposed to be cut off, as in broken, as in if the person starts misbehaving, the woman starts misbehaving. And second one, in the same issue, about a Christian, you caught your wife cheating on you, committing adultery. Are you supposed to put her away as a Christian? And
I don't know whether it's me not getting you. You quoted earlier Matthew 19. It says you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication.
Yes, yes. I said some.
That's what the Bible says.
But as a Christian, are we supposed to do that? Are we not
for? That statement is for Christians. Listen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That statement is for Christians. Now, spiritual marriage. Listen, church. Spiritual marriage is what is typed. Okay. Why are we having that feedback? Spiritual marriage. Listen, church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. There are people who are doing another meeting outside there when I am at the altar here. I think there's a problem somewhere. There are people who are outside there when I'm here teaching. They're having another meeting there. I think something is grossly wrong. I'm not going to talk until they come inside. I'm waiting for you people to come inside. I'm waiting for them to come inside. I'm waiting for every one of them to come inside. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, ministers, immediately we close, we have meeting. We have problem. That's not ministry. You are not ministers. Sorry, I have to say it out of this anger that is in me now. That's not ministry. That's not ministry. Ministry is not just seeing gifts, seeing vision. The overseer is here preaching and people are standing outside. There is a shame on you as a minister. It's a shame. I'm telling you. It's not done anywhere. It's gross indiscipline. I was never brought up with that spirit. Unruly spirit. I'm telling you. And you claim to be a minister. You are sitting down here and people are sitting outside here. You have no ministry. You have no ministry. It's a shame. All of you. So shame. So shame. I feel highly insulted by that action. You have no respect for me. It's wrong. It's a terrible spirit on all of you. There's no better way to insult me than what you are doing. I'm here ministering. You are standing outside there. Talking. Because I'm your mate. Praise God. I'm not happy with you people. You've insulted me before thousands of people gathering here. It's wrong. But if you don't have respect for me, you can show it in a better way than to do it in the presence of people. You never see that happening in any ministry. And the so-called security, they were there standing and discussing with them outside. Okay, let me answer you. In fact, cancel that meeting. I'm not meeting with you ministers again. Because it will not achieve anything. He's not achieved anything now. It's a very serious something. Very serious case. How can you be inside sitting down, then people are outside there? So what is ministry? The security. Security, you have to enforce the church order. It doesn't happen in any ministry. The overseer is at the altar. Everybody takes their position. Because in the days I was in the military, all of you will be doing frog jump outside by now. Let me answer you, Joe. They just want to distract me. It's part of the demons that follow us to the camp. They will not follow us back in Jesus' name. Very unruly people. Very unruly people. Record it though. We'll go put them for tape stand. Let me them hear what I talk concerning them. Show their faces, all of them. Unruly people. Take them one by one, one by one, one by one. Unruly people. Put it on the tape stamp. Play it Friday night for people who have no sense, no character, no meaning, no nothing, nothing. How can I be here? You are standing outside there comfortably, and nobody to drive them inside. If I have my way, you'll be doing frog jump outside there until you can't stand again. Wait till they talk, self. If I make we close, self. What do you ask me? I don't forget. I don't vex. The Bible already said it, brother. The Bible already said it. As a Christian, listen. There are certain things you want me to say, but deliberately I'm avoiding to say it for the purpose of this program. It is true that there is no offense anybody commits that is not forgivable before man. Love covered a multitude of sins. So it is possible that you catch your wife, you catch your fiancé on bed with another man, and still forgive her because of the love you have. As a Christian, God expects you to forgive. But God also knows the make of man. And he puts it that if you decide not to forgive her and you drive her away, heaven will say amen to it. I was saying something. That spiritual marriage is understood by the physical marriage. Now, once you give your life to Christ, you cannot go again and make any idol your God. That is spiritual fornication. You can't hold onto Christ and hold onto any form of God again. If you do that, what do you think God will do to you?
Punishment.
It cuts you off. It cuts you off. Now, you are now married again. There is a law that he gave Moses. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter what? 24. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 24. It says, when a man, verse 1, has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Now see where I am going, verse 3. And if the latter husband, this latest husband now, hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house, Or if the later husband died, this latest one died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, the first one, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before God. Do you catch something here? Once, for any reason, your wife leaves you, whether you drive her or she goes on her own, and sleeps with another man, if she comes back to you, you cannot accept her again because she has defiled herself. He said it is an abomination. And I know there are some African cultures that if any man sleeps with a married woman, if the man, the real husband, sleeps with her, he will die.
Yes, yes.
He will die. That is how powerful that thing is. So being a Christian, if you decide to forgive, that is a high level of love for you. It's good. But if you decide to put her away, it is also good. She brought it upon herself.
Hello, sir. Please, I want you to throw more light. It's not nice. This thing that one of these I want to ask. I want to understand it very well, sir. Like, you marry somebody now.
I have just 20 minutes.
Okay.
And we close now. We close this session.
Somebody, you marry someone and all of a sudden, not good. This is not good. And can
the, the microphone is cut.
You find that her act not as a woman. Can that person now push her away? Say, I don't want you again. I don't want to die.
I don't understand what he's saying.
Excuse me, sir. Sir, I want to know, understand something here. And somebody, you married a wife. And all of a sudden, you now find out that it's not the kind of person you thought that she is. It's what she's doing. And at the end of the day, you now decide that instead of this woman to kill me, let her go. Apart from adultery.
What's your question?
My question is this. I'm coming now. My question is this. That the Bible only said that it's only on account adultery to want to put away his wife out of his house.
I have taken a teaching on this subject. I gave you, praise the Lord. Can we listen, please? Can I go on? I have given the various conditions. I have given the various conditions under which a man can put away his wife. The Bible says for fornication. I also said, I gave it in one of my teachings in the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If the unbelieving departs, let her go, or let him go. You are not under such bondage. Thirdly, I said marriage in deceit. If anybody deceive you into making a decision to marry, the premise upon which you decided to marry, and later on, the opposite takes place after the marriage. I say it is a marriage in deceit. For instance, there are certain basic confessions you are supposed to confess to one another, both the man and the woman. If you had a child out of wedlock by another woman or by another man, you didn't marry or whatever it is that happened, it is your moral duty to tell the man, this is the estate I am. I have a child, I have two children out of wedlock, or in a former relationship, so that he will know. If you did not tell him, sister, and after marriage, he gets to know that you had a child somewhere before meeting him, which you didn't tell him, it is a marriage in deceit. If he will not have a woman that has been married before to be his wife, you gave him the impression that you have not married before, and now he's finding out he can put you away and marry another woman. It was a marriage in deceit. Secondly, too, if sister marry you, believing that you are a Christian, you say you believe the message, and she says, lie, she's not going out of this message. You say, you too, now this message, you go, die, put. Then after marrying her, you say, you must leave this message and go to a Catholic church. That means you have deceived her to look at you as a believer. She can break that marriage. It is a marriage in deceit. If brother saw you as a very quiet, humble, saintly woman, quiet, very accommodating, wonderful, don't even raise voice, they call your name, Asi, you know, they even talk. And the man is believing, because that is the kind of wife he has been praying for. And then, after marriage, you discover that he's the lion of the tribe of Igbo. Nobody can enter this house again. She is now in control. You talk and say, you know, you can't do anything. It's forever. I'm not your wife. You have deceived him to make that decision. It is a marriage in deceit. It can return you to sender. And it's both ways. So that's marriage in deceit. Because you can come and pose with your car motor. Meanwhile, you're a driver. And you say you are a senior manager in that company. When you drop or get finished, you will come down. Come back, they shake car key, and then they talk big. Then, you deceive her, you go to traditional marriage. You come back, finish. Come discover, say, now driver you be. That motor, not be your motor. Ha! Now get motor. He begin cry, say, it's because I love you too much. I know, say, if I tell you the truth, you no go marry me. Now true. To say, tell me the truth, I no go marry you. Therefore, I no marry. Praise the Lord. Brother, you then go out with sister, and you are impotent. It is your duty to tell her, as you see me so, I get one problem. But I'm believing God, I am praying. My God say you are my wife. I have confirmed it. Amen. If you don't, until after marriage. After marriage now, they say, brother, what happened? If she discover it, you have deceived her. Amen. She can break that marriage. And heaven will say amen to it. That is the truth. Praise the Lord. There are things that the person should know. Morally, you're obligated to let the person know. That will help him or her to make a decision to accept you or not. You must tell the person. God is sometimes merciful. Because I know of a sister that was engaged to a brother. And God kept telling the sister, God talks to her, that the man has something to confess to her. She would turn and say, do you have anything to confess? The man would say, no. One day, the man was bringing her to church. They were coming in the man's car. On the road, he said, stop. He stopped. He said, I heard it again now. You have something to confess to me. If you don't tell me now, this is the end. And encourage the man, whatever it is, tell me. God has told me you are my husband. But he is the same one telling me that you there is something you have to confess. You see? Then the man stopped there and broke down and started crying. Say, I was afraid that I will lose you, that's why. Because I have met one or two other girls before that I told them and it ended the relationship. And this is the problem I have. And she too broke down and started crying. I have stayed all my life, God. I swore that I will not defile myself. I have remained a virgin till today. My reward will be this problem you will give me. Praise the Lord. But you know, God answers prayers. As I'm speaking, they have finished their traditional marriage. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. Praise the Lord. You see how God did not want her to discover it only after marriage and kept telling her. And the reason is not that the brother was hiding it, you know, for evil. But God, you know, so that's the way God deals with his children. But it is your responsibility. Confess it. The one that will be your own will join you and fight the problem. The one that is not your own will pack a load and go. You will say back to sender, Lord, bring my own. Your own will identify with your weakness, identify with your problems, carry your problem to be his problem, join forces and fight it together. For better, for worse. That's how it is. Okay, I think I finished there. Yes. Nobody stand up again, please. Only this one.
Praise the Lord.
We want to close.
Pastor, it's quite unfortunate that some part of my question, you have answered it.
Thank you.
But I want you to make it clear for me because I didn't understand it very well.
Let me hear you.
The question goes like this. I'm referring to myself. I'm not referring to anybody. So, we are having a relationship. It's under courtship.
Is the person here?
No, sir.
Okay. Feel free. Talk.
Okay. So, we have that relationship, other courtship, sir, for some months. And the person cares. He listens to me, and I listen to him. So, unfortunately, he had sex with another person. And he came to me and confessed to me that I should forgive him and that he did something. Unknowingly, I didn't know that he did such, you know. So my question there is, should we continue in that courtship or should we cut it off?
No, wait first. Praise the Lord. No, why are you... Let me hear your answer. Who is talking? What do you want to tell him? Who they talk? What do you want to tell him?
I'm not the one talking.
Who they talk?
I should continue.
Eh? Now you are hasty in your judgment. Listen, there's a question I still have to ask to clarify it. Wait. Is he saying that he stumbled and slept with a woman, or he's coming to tell you he has pregnanted a woman?
No, that he slept with a woman.
Now listen, because we must be careful. It may be that he has pregnanted one woman. So this is something like an alibi. It's not coming to tell you, say, please, so that the day that woman will come with a bikini. He will say, now that thing why I tell you that day, now this devil won't come with this devil. So you have to be very, very careful. Some people think they are very smart. Do you understand? So you will ask the person, excuse me, is it that you pregnanted a woman outside? He said, No. I just, you know, I broke a vow. And that is evidence that the person is a sincere and truthful person. you will forgive him.
Even show me the person.
Yes.
If he show me the person.
No, but whatever it is, it means the person is sincere. He's a sincere sinner. Do you understand? He's a sincere sinner. He's a sinner. It's not that he's sincere. If not, why will he have you and go and sleep with another woman? You see? Praise God. As sincere as he is, is a man to watch. To watch. If I be you, I will watch very well. Praise the Lord. The person, the member of this church.
So go winners.
Okay. Yes. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
They say it be this church. If you let me see the person. Praise the Lord. So you learn to forgive when somebody comes willingly. It may even be your wife. Your wife can sleep with a man and come to you and say, I have sinned against you. I have broken the marriage vow. I slept with a man. Sometimes it is a test of your Christianity. You didn't catch her. She comes to confess by herself. It means she's an honest person. Praise God. So it's your duty to forgive. I warn her, never try it again. But if she come again and say, it happened again. Praise God. Next person.
Praise the Lord. We've been talking concerning the qualities you see in a woman before you get married to her.
Yes.
And then the attitude too. I want to really know if it's a sin or it's right to actually have an idea of the physical look of a woman you want to get married to have an idea of it in your mind as a Christian. Is it a sin?
A sin to?
To have an idea, as in you have physical, an idea. Yeah, the
sure,
physical look.
There's no problem about it. Listen, no, listen, church. Praise the Lord. The qualities of the kind of man you are looking for, the kind of woman you are looking for, that is one of the prayer points we are going to pray this night here. You are going to tell the Lord the type of man, the type of woman. And it includes the physical. And I know why he says it. If a man meets you, sister, and says he does not like fat people, he makes you slim, then it is your duty to remain slim. No, that is the truth. It's your duty to remain slim. You don't get so relaxed and careless until you become an abandoned person. And then just in the fact they go say, what happened? After I don't marry, what did I check myself again? No, that man will soon lose his attraction for you. When you also meet a woman, let her know one of the attractive features in her that is attracting you to her. It will help her to maintain it for you. So don't keep it in your heart. Tell her, I like you like this. One of the reasons I like you is because you are short. I don't like tall people. So that will stop her from going to wear high heel. It's true. You don't like, you like people who are black. It will stop her from bleaching. You see? So whatever it is you like about her, tell her it will help her to maintain it for you. It's important. So it's no sin.
The second question, I just want it to be a kind of an advice. I have a friend, a female friend. She told me she's in a relationship right now.
And I quickly want to add, there's a statement that that speaker spoke that did not go down well with me, but because they are visitors, I allowed them to go. When he said that Obama's wife is not beautiful, then I wanted to find out if he knows the meaning of beauty. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So what is beautiful to me may be ugly to you. So you don't tell anybody that somebody is ugly, because that ugly thing is somebody's queen. So it is wrong to say somebody's wife is ugly. There's nobody that is ugly. Beauty is a relative terminology. Praise God. There's nobody that is ugly. Nobody that is ugly. They do miss fat. There's a name they call it. I watched it one time. Eh? What do they call it? Where fat people come, I'm fat and proud. And I know some men that love fat people. I'm telling you. Anything that is your nature, be proud of it. Don't let anybody look down on you because you are skinny. Is that, see this leper? Or because you are too fat? See this orobo. Whatever it is, I am who I am. This is how God has made me. And I'll be proud of what I am. There's somebody that likes somebody like that, that is fat like that. There's somebody that likes slim. There's another one that likes fat people. There's someone that likes fair in complexion people. There's some that like ebony black. Go and find out from Ngozi Jonah's husband. You will know. Say, there are people where they like black people. Yes. You. Some. Go and find out from Prophet Boboi. He likes 14-14. Likes fat people. He's proud to show her anywhere. Anywhere he goes. When the woman, they shake, they go. Dye your head, they scatter. Hey. Praise the Lord. Please, never you tell any human being you are ugly or you are, you know, you're not beautiful, whatever it is. Don't do that. Everybody is uniquely made by God for a purpose. Yes.
I have a friend. She's in a relationship now. But due to this Facebook chat, she met a man abroad and was trying to like the exchange pictures, and the man said he likes her. And he will be coming back this December to get married to her. So she's kind of asking me a kind of advice. I don't know what to tell her. That kind of it.
I have told you something. God designs how you will meet your life partner. And remember, it is what you're looking for that God will give you. But I say it is dangerous to marry a stranger. You don't know, you must find some time. It's okay, you have communicated, Facebook, telephone, BlackBerry, whatever it is. You've been chatting. To chat is different from to stay together. So that person must create some time to be close enough to know one another. And you can't just know somebody like that by chat. You should try by all means to know the background of that person. Before you accept, you must know the background of that person. Praise God. Should know whether that person don't marry, tire, or just want to take you for something else. I don't know, but whatever it is, you know, I think I know the person you are talking about. Am I correct? Who asked that question now? Do I know the person? Eh? I don't know the person. Is the person not in Norway? Is the person in Norway?
No.
A German man living in Norway?
The details I don't really know. The person just told me and just.
You don't go and ask him. Okay. The one where I know, because I've spoken to the man. Praise God. Okay, it's well. Yes. Oh, sorry.
Praise
please hurry up. These are the last people.
Tired.
Who don't tire? What do you want to do? It's 6 o'clock before we eat. No, no more, no more. That's the last sister. That's the last sister with the microphone. The sister with the microphone is the last sister. Yes? Yes?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God. A situation whereby you are into a relationship like...
Talk to microphone.
As in, whereby you are into a relationship, you know it's working well. The both of you like each other. But all of a sudden, he wants to marry. All because of tribalism also. The parent is telling him not to marry a girl from this tribe. But you know that the both of you like each other. He's a God-fearing person. You know, he has the quality you want from a man. And it's been working well between the both of you. Can you pray that God should... And now he's having change of mind because of what the parent is telling him. You know, he's changing seriously. Can you pray that God should bring him back? Or can you just pray for the will of God be done in your life?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your question is a very straightforward one. You pray that the will of God be done. Your fiance is a God-fearing man. He's also a parent-fearing man. And now there'll be complication there. So he was marrying at the will and wish of the parents. So such a person, why will you go to such a marriage with a man that has no stand? He's still a bum boy. Look for a proper man that will marry you. That man, no be man. Let the will of God be done. Is that the last brother? Okay.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, thank you. There's a question I want to ask. And number one is based on what you are teaching us here right now. Then secondly, concern the first brother that taught us about life to live in terms of relationship or meeting a woman. There's a place they talk about David. I disagree with him. The place he said that a man being drunk cannot lead you to trouble is a lie.
That a man being...
A man that being drugged, as in you get drunk through alcohol, it cannot lead you to trouble is a lie. When you're drunk, he said that alcohol cannot lead you because a man that David slept with his wife, he gave him drugs. Here, the man refused to go back to his house and sleep with his wife. I understand that the reason why the man could not be able to go to his house because the Spirit of God was upon that man and stopped him not to do to expose what David did. That's what I understand there. Praise the Lord.
Okay, praise God. You see, from a story, you can infer many things depending on what you want to project.
Yes, sir.
So you don't say it must be this.
Okay.
Depending on what you want to project, you can borrow a thought from a story.
All right.
That does not become a doctrine. I didn't hear that, but I think I agree with almost everything he was speaking here as I listen to him. Okay, Pastor Francis wants to...
Sir, the man was not...
Yes.
The pastor wasn't endorsing alcoholism.
Okay.
Or drunkenness.
Okay.
In his teaching, he was just saying that for the fact that the spiritual microchip of immorality was not in him, no matter how much alcohol that David forced him to take, he was godly enough not to go to submit himself to the wife when he was not supposed to go.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Then my second question. You said something concerning a sister and a brother that are about to wait in the church right now. But when the man came across that man, And the Spirit of God keep on telling the sister, there is something about this man that he need to tell you. Which ending of the day, the man opened up to that sister. Two of them now join hands together and pray. The situation was solved. Then you said it. Then I use it. You always keep on saying about me going to a sister because you found out that that sister is a working class sister. Is very, as in the office is working, is earning a good lot of money. Now, my question in that place, does it mean that God can use a woman to get the need of a man? Because you keep on saying it, because sometimes you find out that some brethren, some brothers, maybe one way or the other, the Spirit of God have told them, this is the person that God have destined to your wife. You know, the preaching may make them to be scared not to. Are we going to, if, for example, a man finds himself in such situation, that man, is he going to wait until he be established before he can go to that sister? That's my question there.
God bless you. See, listen, church. Praise the Lord. I think we should close on that now. Listen, church. What we are talking is very serious matter. I want to protect our sisters from devourers. Follow me anytime I am preaching and understand my thought. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
In my position, I have seen things. Let me also give you one. I have a very close friend of mine that is very, very rich, an Air Force general, just recently retired. Very, very rich. There is his sister, in-law, sister-in-law or so. Small girl that stayed with him from the age of about 4 years. His own relation's daughter that he took to stay with him. And imagine somebody growing up in the house of a rich man and bearing the same surname, of course, with him because it's the same family. A man came and was dying over this girl. Dying over this girl. And this, my friend, knew that. How he knew, I don't know, but this is why he was telling me that. This boy is a gold digger. He's seeing the daughter of a rich man. That's why he's coming. He said he knows. He called this girl. He said, see the reason this one is coming. See the reason this one is coming. This is your marriage. I don't endorse it. He gave them you will never know it's not his daughter. So one day, just before the marriage, about a week or so to the marriage, he called the guy and said, well, why I call you today is to let you know that I am not the biological father of this girl. So you people will be going to the village now to go and see her father. Praise God.
Yeah.
The man, he told me, said the man stood there stupefied. Sir, are you serious? It's not your daughter. He says, no, it's not your daughter. It's not my daughter. They left. From that day, they managed to do that marriage because they had already printed card, they had done everything. That marriage did not last 1 year. It broke. Because what he thought he was going into was not, and he deliberately knowing what he was doing, he withheld everything he would have done for her. Because he didn't support it anyway. And that is how the marriage broke. I'm telling you that there are people that will come, it is not love. It is some other reason they are coming for. Yes, God can show you a particular sister. And can I also add this? Let's be very sincere. Let's be very, very sincere. You did not go to secondary school. Or you ended up in secondary school and a sister has her master's degree. By status, you are no more equal.
at all.
You have no job. What is your future? You have secondary school certificate. And of all the women around, now that master degree holder who is a bank manager, that is single, that you are saying God to say you are my wife. Brother? There is an adage that says, water finds her level. That is the truth.
Is it in the Bible?
Did I say
it's in the Bible? Find water.
I said there is an adage.
All right, sir.
You see, you don't listen to me when I talk. So how will you follow what I'm saying? I said there is an adage. Did you hear me say so? You are telling me it's in the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I say there is an adage, means word of wisdom, that says water finds her level. The reverse is always the case. The man is always well to do, always higher, and goes to pick a lesser person or mates to marry. Not the man like that. You will, inferiority complex will finish you in that relationship. You are the type that you can't understand. That woman has gone by exposure far from you. You cannot miss and relate even sociably together. Why will you go and yoke yourself like that? That's what I'm saying. You cannot match. It's something you're looking for. No be love. No lie. Go and meet your mother at home to give you one woman from the village. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I will continue to hammer it in this ministry. Water, find your level. That is the only way to protect this. Because when they reach that stage, they are desperate. They are desperate. They have all the money. They have all the connections. They have all the certificates. They have all the position. The next thing left is husband. Then you get to know that it's husband that is left. Then you carry yourself. They come. You want to finish up. Back to sender. Can we clap our hands for our... Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, I really understand. Praise the Lord. We are here to learn, please.
Fire,
we
please. Are here hurry to up. Learn. The people are stressed up. Praise the Lord. They are tired, please. Yes?
How differentiate your dream? As in your dream, how did you understand when the Lord is talking to you through dream?
When it comes to pass, it is God.
All right.
I've answered you. When it comes to pass, it is God. When it doesn't come to pass, now you know where it comes from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You notice we did a lot of talking today. That man said something, that my people are destroyed, not for lack of prayer, but for lack of what? Lack of knowledge. And I believe that from morning until now, the Lord has granted us some knowledge that will help us in making our choice and going on in our relationship. May it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We shall be coming back. What time?